looking ahead to the second and third round, to those picks coming in the first eight starting tomorrow, just how does this sort of set the tone, and how do you optimize the capital that you have in these next couple rounds?
Yeah, there's a lot of great players left. We're five picks tomorrow, so we're really excited. And so we recalibrated a little bit before I came in here, just talked about, you know, what we're going to try to accomplish tomorrow. And doing the draft on the East Coast, it starts way later. So we'll have a lot of time tomorrow, and it's not like I'm going to be sleeping in till 2. So those days are over. I never slept until 2, not even in college. But we'll have a lot of time tomorrow to really strategize and see, all right, these are the players left on the board. And there's a lot of really good ones still, and we're going to get a lot of really good players tomorrow and Saturday as well. We're excited.
Maybe not 2 o'clock, but there were certainly a few of those days after long nights where it may have been noon or 1 p.m. by the time some of us got around to moving. Adam Peters talking about what's next. We'll continue to play a lot from what Adam Peters said last night. You'll hear what Nick Saban said on Scott Van Pelt SportsCenter last night about the Jaden Daniels pick. And you'll hear from Jaden Daniels as well. Ben Standing will join us at noon. I promise we'll get back to calls at some point. But right now, it is my pleasure. It's always my pleasure to have Mike Jones on the show. Mike, of course, right now is writing for The Athletic, longtime beat reporter for The Post, covering our team. At by Mike Jones on X on Twitter, he joins us right now. Mike put together a story, the winners and losers from round one. But before we get to that, you know, just overall, even before I get to what your reaction was about Jaden Daniels in Washington, 6 quarterbacks in the top 12 picks. I said this earlier on the show. I don't know if a Knight's ever spoken more loudly on the importance of the position than last night. Not that we didn't know it, but man, was it a quarterback frenzy like we've never seen before last night. What did you think?
No, I thought so, and I think we saw some desperation in some of those selections where guys were taken. Because, I mean, I don't think all those guys were top 12 picks in the whole draft, but it showed how desperate teams were to get them. I mean, even like, you know, Atlanta with Michael Penix Jr., I mean, would you really have taken him at 8 overall? But, I mean, they could have tried to move back, but I think there was probably a concern that, hey, if we move back and then try to get him, somebody else is going to try to jump up. And, you know, teams needed their quarterbacks, and they knew they had to get them when they could. Denver, I think, reached a little bit on Bo Nix as well. But, again, they needed to get their guys in their minds, and it just shows that, okay, in this day and age, the way the NFL is and the way the game is, you have to have a quarterback who can direct game-winning drives, and you just cannot do it with Band-Aid guys. And, you know, you can kind of get by, but when it comes down to playoffs, you better have somebody special. And so teams are really trying to make sure that they got – some of the best quarterbacks out there and not miss out, even if it meant they took them a little earlier than what some people projected them as.
Yeah, I think it almost emphasizes the point, right, that, you know, players are going much higher than projected or much higher than a big board would dictate, and they went that way because other teams were standing in line to do the same thing.
Right. Yeah, you're exactly right. And that's why, you know, when you know that, okay, everybody's got their quarterbacks, we can kind of move back and wait till we – nobody was waiting. Everybody was like, hey, get this guy now. Get him now, you know. And, again, they just felt like we don't want to miss out on these guys. We can't wait until next year. We have to get our guy that we feel is special and, you know, and worry about the rest. As far as the – you know, and if teams had been able to, because they were trying, teams are trying to trade up. We could have seen quarterback go 1, 2, 3, 4. We didn't wind up seeing that. Right. You know, if the Giants had of, not gone with the wide receiver, they could have taken a quarterback. We could have seen, you know, quarterbacks be off the board before, the top 12 was completed, And so it was just very much clear that in this league now, which is a passing league and you need difference maker quarterbacks, teams felt like, hey, we can't mess around. We've got to get our guys.
want to get to Washington here in a moment, but would the Giants have taken Drake May had he fallen to six?
Yes, and I actually heard that they even tried to move up, but weren't able to. New England was not, you know, interested in moving back. They wanted the Drake May. Say they had passed on him, then I think the Giants would have found a way to take him. But they didn't see anybody else that they believed as strongly about, and so that's why they didn't take one of the other quarterbacks. Drake May was the guy that they wanted, from what I can gather, and so then they went with a wide receiver. You know, we'll see what happens. I think that they should have, you know, gotten a quarterback. I don't believe in Daniel Jones, but they kind of felt like, hey, well, regardless of who our quarterback is, we need some playmakers very badly, and so we'll get them now. And, you know, I guess we saw them reach on Daniel Jones, you know, several years ago, and the table wasn't set, you know, not a strong supporting cast. So right now what they're doing is making sure that they have some talent around the quarterback. And then, you know, if Daniel Jones doesn't work out, they you know, address the situation next year.
I was thinking about this actually right before we called you during the break, because I was going to ask you about some of these other situations. I actually think the Giants were one of the bravest teams here in the first half, or in the first 12 picks, because they wanted one, but the ones that were available, they didn't want, and therefore right. They didn't do what maybe Minnesota did, maybe Denver did. We'll find out Atlanta did. And they took a player who had to be a higher-rated player on their board than at least J.J. McCarthy. And right. They haven't had anybody like that to give to Daniel Jones since he became the starter.
No, I agree with you. And I think that that showed some discipline, because you weren't going to reach. I mean, I really wish that there was a way to see how people's boards were and see if, you know, did you really have, you know, Michael Penix Jr. rated as high as you did, or Bo Nix rated where you did. I know that the Vikings were trying to move up and they really very much wanted JJ, you know, but I really would be curious how many of these teams changed their boards because they saw the way quarterbacks were flying off. And how much we're really, you know, taking them because of the value that they have on them there. So if the Giants didn't have somebody they believed in, then that's what you want. You don't want your team getting into trouble because they panicked and took a guy earlier than what he was valued at. And instead, you know, they were disciplined. They got, you know, the best value. And again, whoever their quarterback is, they're going to need a quality wide receiver like they got.
Yeah, they need a lot more, too, on offense, right. Especially up front, where although they did some damage, I guess, in free agency. We're talking to Mike Jones from The Athletic. All right, so Jaden Daniels to Washington. Go ahead.
No, I think it was a good move. I think that he was – I mean, obviously, look, Caleb Williams, you know, is supposed to be a generational talent, supposed to be really special, but I think that Jaden Daniels can be very special. You know, he definitely had the better year. It looks like he could wind up being I'm not saying he's going to be a CJ Stroud as far as, you know, having a better rookie season than Caleb Williams, but it looks like he has an opportunity to be a real impact player. He can put pressure on a defense, not only with his arm, but with his legs as well. I'm sure you probably heard the Nick Saban breakdown on what he, and I thought that, okay, you know, that is really what you're looking for. And look, if he winds up being close to what Lamar Jackson is, but I think that he's probably a better passer coming out than what Lamar Jackson was. But so if you have that type of a guy, that is what he could wind up being, that quarterback that this franchise has badly needed and craved for a really long time, and really has the opportunity to infuse this city and the fan base with a lot of energy. And I mean, how many times have we seen now where you're hoping, but I hope that the carousel ends right here. I do think that, you know, everything I hear, he's got the right mental makeup, and we'll see. He's not the biggest guy. How can he protect himself when he starts running? But he's really fast, really smart, hard worker. So, you know, I think a good move for them.
Look, you know this situation because you live here and you worked it here and you still work it here. One of the things that I talked about this morning and I've talked about in recent weeks is that this is the first draft where you can actually suspend reality. You can give benefit of the doubt because you don't have this combination of arrogance and incompetence that would get in the way of even a really good player that you may have stumbled upon. And I'm wondering if you kind of view the situation the same way. It's like, to me, it's a completely new day and a completely different situation than we've had in 24 years.
No, it is. I mean, because, look, and it was funny because I kind of tweeted it. First off, it's hard to believe that it's already been 12 years since Washington took RG3.
I know, that's true.
But, you know, it's like 12 years ago, they had the number two pick in the draft. They had a rookie quarterback that infused the city with life. I mean, just thinking about the way the home stretch of that season when they went on that run, but then the way it ended. And as you're thinking of this, okay, you don't have that awful owner who's meddlesome and who's got an ego and who's going to poison your quarterback. I mean, I know that Mike Shanahan played a hobbled RG3 down the stretch of his rookie year because he was worried about his relationship with Griffin and worried about his job with Snyder. I know that Snyder's influence during that offseason when Griffin was recovering, it soured things. Griffin should not have been on the field as soon as he was as a rookie. As a second-year player, he should have had more time to recover, but everybody was afraid for their jobs, afraid of what was going to happen because of just the way Snyder poisoned things. All of that is gone. You have adults in the room. You have adults calling the shots. And so I feel optimistic that, okay, you know, and say they hadn't taken Jaden Daniels, say it was Drake May. I mean, I myself liked Jaden Daniels more, but say it would have been May because of the setup they have and what I hear from those people, I would have been like, well, okay, I've been willing to give them the benefit of a doubt and not be like, oh man, hope they didn't botch this thing again. It just feels different. Optimistic that maybe the long suffering is over. Again, it's going to take time. They're not going to be great right away, but just that the, like you said, the arrogance, the incompetence, the meddlesome ways are over. And so maybe the smart people that are running the front office and running the coaching staff can do their jobs without, something sabotaging them. And so I think that that is all you can ask for right now.
Yeah, and none of what we're talking about, because everything you just said and the way you said it is exactly the way I feel, none of it guarantees that they just got the next Patrick Mahomes, but it just feels like the chances are better. And to your point, if it had been May, even though my preference overwhelmingly was Daniels, I would have given benefit of the doubt. By the way, as it relates to Daniels, what became very clear over the last few weeks, and I'm just wondering in all of your conversations over the last couple of weeks, there was a clear top two, ultimately. As we look back on this 2024 draft with the six quarterbacks in the top 12, there was Caleb Williams and Daniels 1-2 in some order there, right?
No, I think so. From everybody I talked to, I mean, yes, Drake May wind up being good, but everything I heard was that, yeah, you had those two guys, and then, there's a drop-off, and then a little bit of a drop-off. Look, they got the best available quarterback, and you never know, maybe might wind up being – I know Lewis Riddick here, as far as his breakdown, he thinks that he'll wind up being better than Caleb Williams. I don't know, but you really have a legit opportunity to have something really special here for the first time in a long time.
Right. We're talking to Mike Jones from The Athletic. They are going to be busy tonight. Five picks from pick number 36 through 100 as it stands right now. And there's also discussion about the 49er situation in this city because Brandon Ayuk and Jaden Daniels were teammates at Arizona State. Jaden Daniels admitted last night that he's leaned on Ayuk as much as anybody going through this process. So what are the Niners going to do after drafting Ricky Pearsall last night with the next to last pick in the first round?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see because, I mean, obviously they could keep both Ayuk and Debo and him because all three of them are different. It's not like you have one guy that they're very similar and you have to get rid of one to make room. But they do have some flexibility now. I would think that if they're going to trade somebody that, I don't know, if I would think it might be more so Debo just because
really?
I think, look, what Debo does is very special, but eventually, okay, how sustainable is that? You know, I think that maybe right now where they are, you probably have a longer window of the special with Ayuk. Now, I mean, I would love to see him here or you would love to have him, but I just almost feel like the 49ers might try to hold on to him because, look, you do have Christian McCaffrey who can move around and do a lot of different stuff like you do with Debo. You know, but again, we'll see. They've got options. They can keep all three because, look, Brock Purdy is good, but Brock Purdy is somebody that you need really top-level talent around him. And so if you keep all three of those guys around him and you have Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle, your offense is, you know, lights out.
You're not the first to say that this morning, but it is surprising to me. I just – look, on a team with – just superstars, you know, whether it's Trent or whether it's McCaffrey or Kittle, Debo, Ayuk, on the other side of the ball, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner. Like, it's just amazing how many true superstars they have on their team. Sometimes I think Debo, pound for pound, is the best player on that team in watching that team.
I think that he is. I think he can be. It kind of almost depends on the given week because –
yeah,
that's the beauty of what they have. Any one of those guys can go off. And yes, again, we've seen Debo do some amazing stuff, but you just wonder, okay, once a guy starts getting up in age, how long can he? And look, remember, part of him before, you know, a couple years ago was he was fine with that role, but he kind of wanted to take less of a pounding and everything. So,
yeah.
I just wonder how much longer his body can continue to be that Swiss Army knife. And then, okay, he's a good wide receiver, but I think what makes him special is his versatility.
Yeah, no doubt.
So that's why I say that.
By the way, just one quick one on this, and then we'll move on. If Ayuk or Samuel were available tonight, what would it take? Would it take one of Washington's second-round picks they have, 36 or 40?
I guess it depends on the leverage that the 49ers can create. If they say, oh, there's somebody else.
Sure,
but I would
demand.
Think that, yeah, one of those picks, obviously if you're Washington, you hope that it's the lower of the two. But either way, you're still getting a really talented guy. I mean, to go with McLaurin, and Dotson, that would be, pretty awesome. But, yeah, I think that you would have to. I don't know how you could – get either one of those guys without giving up a second-round pick for it.
Are you hearing anything about specific players, Washington second-round, third-round tonight?
No, just as far as positions goes. I mean, obviously, they've got to get an offensive tackle, and you got to just continue to fortify. I know they got Wagner. They declined the fifth-year option on Davis. You need a young linebacker that can make plays sideline to sideline. So it'll be interesting to see. Obviously you need edge rushers. There's a lot of things that they need, which is great because they have, the picks that they have. I was kind of curious to see, if they were going to try to get back up in the first round, to take a tackle. They didn't do that, but there's still tackles on the board. And so we'll see how it plays out.
So from your standpoint, let's talk about some of the other things that happened. What the hell happened in Atlanta last night?
Yeah, I mean, I think you probably saw the camera, the view into the war room where Terry Fontenot was standing there talking to Arthur Blank,
yeah.
And explaining things to him. I'm sure he just asked him the exact same thing right there. Look, it seems weird because of the fact that you just gave Cousins $100 million. What was, you know, guaranteed? It was $180 million over 4 years. $100 million of that is guaranteed. Most of it is in the first 2 years, but he does have a $25 million dead cap hit in year three. But the thing is, the guy is coming off of an Achilles injury and surgery, and he is, you know, on the wrong side of 30. And so I think for them, they felt like, look, if Cousins is as good as we think he can be, we're not going to be in position to draft a quarterback for a while. And they really loved what they saw in Michael Penix Jr. So they were like, look, we don't know we're going to be in position to draft a franchise quarterback again. Let's get this guy so we can develop him, kind of the Green Bay, you know, model where, look, you get a quarterback, you let him develop, and you keep on rolling, and that has served them well. Now, look, this roster they have is not complete. It's not, you know, just ready to make a championship-type run. They have a lot of needs still. They better have a really good draft the rest of the way. But they have a guy who is a good insurance policy if Cousins does come back or say he gets hurt again this year. But the best case for them is like, okay, we have a guy. We let him sit for a while, just like the Packers did with Aaron Rodgers when they had Brett Favre, just like the Packers did with Jordan Love when they had Aaron Rodgers. And then we'll roll from there. I think they looked at it as, look, yes, we're not, yes, we are hoping that Cousins, you know, plays out at least these first 2 years. And then if we're ready to go to Penix Jr., we do that. But if things don't work out, we have an aging quarterback, and you have to make sure you're prepared for the future. So they made their made that decision to make their roster better. And I know Cousins, you know, his agent put out the, you know, word that they were shocked and confused and disappointed that they didn't make their roster better for this year. But they really did kind of make the roster better for this year, because if something happens, they have a guy that they can go to. Yes, he's a rookie, but he's a pretty talented one.
I think this is one of the silliest things I've ever seen. And I love the player. And I've been talking about Penix Jr. for 2 months that there's I didn't think he'd make it past the top half of the first round. I think he's going to be able to play. But you use number 8 on him overall. You know, they use 26 on Jordan Love. They use 24 on Aaron Rodgers as sort of comparisons. And they hadn't just paid those guys $100 million to bring him in as a free agent. I think it's one of the silliest things I've ever seen an NFL team do, because when they paid Cousins the $100 million, that said, with him turning 36 years old, we want to win right now. And you had number 8 to help that effort. I don't think it's crazy to draft successors at all, but in their situation, having just paid him $100 million and having number 8 overall, not number 26 overall, I just think it's no wonder people were shocked, including Cousins. But we'll see, because I think Penix has a chance to be a really good NFL quarterback.
I think that, again, that part of the pressure was the guy teams behind them. They felt like, look, if we move back, we're not going to get the guy that we
like.
Yeah,
but they could have really leveraged that. The teams wanted Penix.
McCarthy. I would have gotten a boatload of picks and, you know, and still found another way to get another quarterback that you like, you know, as a successor. But they really liked Michael Penix Jr. And, I mean, I hope it doesn't come back to bite him. But, I mean, it could. But, you know, it could play out. But, again, I think it was because the way quarterbacks were flying off, they felt really special about him and were like, look, let's just make sure we get him, even though we could move back a couple spots and hope somebody else doesn't jump up to take them before us.
Maybe the move, Denton, maybe the move was that, is Taylor Heinicke still on Atlanta? I forget. Did he stay in Atlanta or not?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He took a pay cut to stay there. Maybe it was they just, I mean, this is going to be a killer for some of our listeners, Sabah in particular. Maybe they just weren't confident in their backup in Taylor Heinicke. I kid because I love. All right, real quickly, who were the... give me the team overall that you feel won the biggest last night.
Well, I mean, outside of, I mean, Chicago, I mean, getting Williams and then being able to get Rome, you know, as well, get you get a starting quarterback that could be your franchise guy, should be your franchise guy. Then you get a really talented wide receiver that will be a number one in a couple of years as well. He now has a very talented wide receiver trio. So that's great for them. I thought that, the Vikings really won because they were trying to figure out a way to move up in the draft, and they really liked J.J. McCarthy, but they didn't wind up having to move up to get him. So they were able to keep those picks and they'll be able to use them because they're positioned to be able to give up a lot to move up. I thought that the Eagles, they were trying to move up because they felt like, look, we really got to get a top-level cornerback. They weren't able to move up, and it turned out that the cornerbacks fell. This was the longest that cornerbacks have waited since 1995. And so they didn't have to give anything up to get one of the top cornerbacks right in the draft. I look at them. And then, the Chiefs, I thought that they won. They were able to move up. I don't know what the Bills were thinking, helping them out, but they were able to move up and get the fastest wide receiver in the draft, which he is just, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are going to have a field day with him. But that was another win there.
Yeah, worthy. And they added Hollywood Brown too, right? So they've got some real speed. Of course, the Rashee Rice is a strange situation. In mentioning Philadelphia real quickly, I think we're sleeping on Philadelphia, meaning the way they finished last year, it was such a tank at the end of last year and then getting blown out by Tampa in the playoff game. There were a lot of question marks, right? Including a lot of questions about Jalen Hurts even that started. But they have had, first of all, they added Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio as right. two new coordinators. They got Saquon Barkley. They just drafted a corner. They needed desperately speed in their back end. They also brought back C.J. Gardner-Johnson. They added the pass rusher from the Jets, Huff. Devin White ended up in Philadelphia. They've had a quiet but very good offseason, I think. What do you think?
They have. I agree with you. It's going to be interesting to see how Jalen Hurts adjusts to a new offense. But look, he has had different play callers every right. single year throughout his career, dating back to high school. So he's used to learning new offenses. I think that Howie Roseman has positioned them to have a bounce back year once again. And, it's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out. But I think they should feel good about what they have, and we'll see the way the rest of this draft plays out. But they had a good free agency. And they've just, extended key members of their team with their two wide receivers, and their left tackle. And so they're in a good position.
All right, you're the best for doing this. I know how busy you are. I appreciate it. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Kevin. I'll see you.
Yep. Mike Jones, everybody, at By Mike Jones on X on Twitter. We'll do some Denton news next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.